We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, a major rock star, Sarah Boyd. She is the founder of Simply. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, second time I get to interview you. I'm super excited.
Me
too.
This
time we're really going to dive into the how-tos of how you've created this mega amazing business. So if you could start out by telling everyone who's not familiar about what Simply is.
Sure. So I started Simply about 5.5 years ago, really to fill the void in the industry. I wanted to create a kind place to connect in the fashion and beauty industry. So I do that through fashion and beauty conferences we hold internationally, monthly workshops and sessions. And we also have an online platform for budding entrepreneurs in the fashion and beauty space. And as of about 3 years ago, we launched our digital arm of our business, where we represent and manage celebrity bloggers and represent them and manage them in the digital space. We do all sorts of campaigns and also campaigns for clients that aren't on our roster. So anything in the digital space and blogging, we're working with.
Very cool. And you've been in this industry for a while, but you were in a different part of the industry in PR. So what were some of the holes, the voids that you were seeing were missing that you really wanted to fill?
Yeah. When I was in the industry, I was really lucky that I had a sister that helped me get my foot in the door. Not so many people have that. And they really are hard workers and they want to work in the industry. They just don't have that connection or that handshake that they need. And really, it just takes one person to trust you and invest in you and or you know whatever you're looking to establish, whether it's become a stylist or become a blogger or work in the fashion and beauty industry. You really just need that connection. And that's what I found myself doing over my 10 years in PR. It's always connecting people. I love doing that. It's my passion. And, you know, one day I thought, why don't I figure out how to do this as my job? So that's when I started thinking about our first conference and how we can really connect people in the fashion and beauty space. It's really a space that a lot of jobs you can't go to school for. You kind of have to learn the ropes along the way, especially styling and blogging. There's no handbook for it.
This is so niche.
Yeah. Like, you can't just sign up like you're going to be a doctor. You know, that's easy. Not really, but
there's you know, a clear path.
Yes, yeah, you can go to school.
And, it's a hard path, but it's clear.
Right. But yeah, a lot of the jobs in fashion and beauty, you really need the connections. And there was no platform for that. So I wanted to create it. And all about kindness, too. You know, I've gotten very far in my career by being the nice girl and being kind. And everyone said, oh, you're not going to get far. You have to be mean in PR or in this industry or that industry. And I said, no, I want to do it with kindness. So that's really throughout all of our conferences, it's all about kindness. You can sit with us. We partnered with an anti-bullying foundation as our charity partner. So we really just embrace everyone that comes.
Yeah, you know, I love that. I love women empowering women. There's a big push for it now. How have you seen firsthand that this is really empowering the influencers you work with, the brands you work with? When everyone just comes together, everyone wins, right?
Yeah. An example this morning, one of our clients was booked to host an event for the solar eclipse this morning.
So cool.
And the person that booked her, she was talking about her and then another client that we had. And she's like, I met that client 7 years ago and I remember how nice she was to me. And that's why I booked her for this campaign. I was like, see, it pays to be nice.
Yeah.
Like it gets you so much further. Also, like some of our clients write thank you notes to every gift they receive. And that goes so much further than having an agent that's just like, you know,
bring me back. Yeah, for sure.
And like checking the watch every second, you know, that yes, that helps. But in the long term and people wanting to work with you, you know, continually, be nice.
Yeah. And to your earlier point, it's a relationships business. Mm-hmm. Every business is a relationships business. And you had a sister to help you initially get in the door. But for most people, kindness is going to have to help them get into the door and stay in the room and really, really build their business. So I love that that's a big value that you have. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your conferences and how you specifically decided to use conferences as your first branch of your business.
You know, I'm kind of a fearless person and I don't think about everything it takes. I just jump, especially when I'm really passionate about something. And, you know, that can be a positive and negative sometimes. But with our conferences, I really, I love having a lot of people under one roof so I can connect. That's what my passion is. So I wanted to extend that to women. You know, I had so many different requests from women saying, like, can you connect me to this person or that person? Or I want to learn from this person. And that's when I just jumped and I was like, I'm going to do a conference. And there isn't really, at that point, there wasn't one in the fashion and beauty industry. They were all like tech conferences and not sexy and not fashion-y. You know, they weren't fun and exciting and engaging. With
and beautiful.
These, yeah. And these types of people on panels, you know, we had top celebrity stylists and top bloggers and fashion editors and all of these really amazing people that never really come in front of the camera. At least 5 years ago, they didn't. Now everyone's an influencer. But at that point, you know, it was really this revealing this, you know, velvet rope that people could never really get on the other side of to learn what these people are doing and how they're getting ahead in the industry. So that was kind of my test. And I was like, let me just try. And we had 750 people at our first conference.
Amazing.
In LA. So I was like, okay, I think people want this.
I think that there's something here. And just took off from there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the various roles within this industry. There's the influencer, the brand, the PR person, manager. I'm sure more roles that are not even coming to mind. So if you could kind of break it down how this industry works.
Yeah, there's a lot of roles. Like, I didn't even know PR was a role in high school until I went to college. I was like, that is the coolest job.
Yeah.
But they get no credit. The poor PR people, they're doing all the work.
Right?
So that's what I did for 10 years. And finally, I was like, I can't do this anymore. My time has come. And so, yeah, PR is a very vital role in the fashion and beauty industry. They're the ones making all the connections. They're, you know, moving and shaking, getting, of course, all the press placements. Now they're working a lot with influencers as the industry's really changed. So they're the ones kind of behind the scenes doing all the unpaid advertising, digital media, and press relations.
So kind of the middle person.
Yeah, I would say the middle person. That's who you kind of hit before you get to the designer or you get to, you know, the talent, any of those sort of people. They're the buffer in the PR scenario. A manager is more with the celebrity or the big influencer bloggers. So they all have managers. So that's the person kind of doing their deals, the pay, you know, that's the person telling you how much you have to pay them.
Yeah.
You know, doing all those negotiations and really being their day-to-day strategizer of where they need to take their business and long-term goals, you know, for them as a blogger, or influencer, and celebrity. So that's what we do with a lot of our talent with Simply Digital. We help them kind of get their roadmap as a celebrity blogger. Not them as an actress or any of that world. That's
right.
Not our world. But yeah, with as a blogger, we really help set them up for success.
Yeah. So at your events, you really connect everyone together so that they can easily meet each other and move. Ultimately, is it the influence? Would you say it's for the influencer ultimately to move their career forward?
I would say it's for, budding entrepreneurs. So people looking to work in the fashion and beauty industry or people that are already in it looking to make connections. And there's everyone from designers, stylists, bloggers, editors, makeup artists, all types of people in the industry that come and just really make all of these great connections and learn from all of our panels and breakout sessions. So it's really a full day where they can come and learn the A to Z of, you know, this day and age of the fashion and beauty industry. And it's fun while you're at it. You get your hair done, you get massages, you get tons of amazing gifts and goodie bags and stuff like that too. So it's a fun day.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the various branches of your business. Sit tight. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to DJ Khaled and talk about the keys to success, not just for Snapchat, but for social media. DJ Khaled gets over 3 million views per snap, which is amazing. More than most brands get at all in a matter of a month on any social media network. And the way that DJ Khaled has done this is by being human. People relate to other people. People don't relate to a logo. They don't relate to a pair of sneakers. They relate to other people they see wearing those sneakers or enjoying an experience. So when they see DJ Khaled, who's out in Miami on a pair of jet skis, people say, wow, like this guy's a normal person. And I think more brands need to be more like DJ Khaled than they need to be an actual brand.
And so when you're saying human, you're defining that as just kind of going about their day-to-day life?
It's essentially product storytelling. It's telling a story about your company, products, or services, and using people to tell a narrative. And the person doesn't need to be Kim Kardashian or DJ Khaled. The person doesn't need to be this big, well-known thought leader, influencer. The person can be your consumer. The greatest competitive advantage that social media gives any business, from my perspective, is the ability to listen. Most brands are focusing on pushing out content. They're not doing a good enough job of listening to what people are saying about them.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE. You should.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where I am continuing my conversation with the founder of Simply. And really exciting news for Simply, you were recently acquired by Nylon. So How did that come about and how has it changed Simply for the better?
Yeah, it was incredible. And it's been a few months now. We're really getting adjusted and learning, you know, the ins and outs. It was about a year-long process. I had a baby about a year and a half ago, and two-hour walks, strolling the baby along. I was like having so many different, you know, thoughts going through my head and really clearing my mind, which I never really got to do, jumping off the hamster wheel after 5 years having a business. It really helped me have a vision of where I wanted the business to go. And I knew that I needed a larger company behind me to support. I really grew Simply as large as I could by myself with my small team of four people. And I knew that I needed a massive infrastructure to really take us to the next level. So I reached out to five companies that I really loved that I thought could be a good partnership for us. And all of them wrote back. We had calls with everyone and ended up getting two offers out of the five, which was incredible. So yeah. Any budding entrepreneur, it seems so big and so overwhelming, but honestly, just take it one step at a time and reach out and see if there's interest. I mean, for me, I didn't think anyone would respond. I got five emails back, two offers. A year and a half later, the acquisition went through and it's been the best decision I think I've ever made in my business. And now I have a team of 65 in New York. I'm now the president of West Coast operations for Nylon as a whole. So I'm overseeing the West Coast division here. And we have a sister company called Socialite, which is all digital influencer casting. So they represent traditional bloggers. We represent celebrity bloggers. And then Nylon, of course, is the whole media arm, magazine. They do tons of great digital content and video. So now we're the full 360 package, which is amazing. And we can all kind of help each other grow, which is great.
Yeah, that is so cool. It goes to show you never know until you ask, because you even said that you didn't think you would get that positive response, but you were like, I'm just going to go for it anyways. And look at you now.
And then they respond and they say, you know, great, yeah, send me your valuation and all this. And I'm like, hold on.
All right, so, 1 second. Yeah, I'm on it.
So then I had to go, you know, you hire the experts that do a great job in their field. I don't know how to put together all of that information. So I hired a financial expert that helped me put all of those packages together. I hired a great lawyer. So, you know, I had my little team and we, after a year, we finally closed. So yeah. I feel like I got my master's degree in selling a business.
In a real short period of time.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn, but it was a great experience and I couldn't be happier. They're an amazing team. They give me a lot of creative freedom and direction and really just a great platform for growth.
So cool. So how has your job description changed? Because it sounds like it has quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now I have such a great team behind me as opposed to me kind of doing everything with my team of four. So now I have a sales team in New York. I have, you know, all different sorts of people that are brilliant and smart. And, you know, UTA is our strategic partner. So we have access to them and just all of these amazing resources that I can tap into. So it alleviates a lot of the pressure on me, you know, as a small business owner. When it's just you, you don't have someone to talk to, like a mentor or someone that has been there before that you can really ask these questions to. Now I have that, which is phenomenal. I have weekly calls with them every week and just brilliant. So that's great. And then now I'm also overseeing the West Coast team, as I mentioned. So, you know, just kind of unifying everyone. We're three companies under Nylon. So yeah. It's kind of bringing everyone together, giving that like kindness, the company ethos, mm-hmm. and connecting everyone and how can we all work together as opposed to being three separate companies. So really making the team work together and, you know, bringing everyone together for weekly lunches or happy hours and, you know, doing what I do
is
connecting
yeah,
everyone.
Very cool.
And then, yeah, helping with strategy across the board and bringing my expertise to all, you know, the other ends of the business.
So when you decided that you did want to expand, were you very clear on that you wanted to get acquired by a larger company or had you considered raising funding? How did you decide how you were exactly going to expand?
Yeah, I did think about investment, but for me, I could get a lot of investment and that could go right out the door for one conference. And then where am I? Now I gave away half of my company and I still don't have the support and all of this you know, this that I was looking for. So really what I wanted was the strategic support and the team behind me and the sales team and all of these people that instantly come with, you know, Nylon or all of the other companies I was thinking about. And for me to easily plug into what they have as like kind of the missing puzzle piece. Cause we have obviously the event and activations and all of that, that they can also sell into their platform. So, for me, it was the right decision for everyone. I mean, it's different for every business
right.
owner, but that was what I was looking for at the time.
Yeah, you fit so perfectly
yeah.
into Nylon and their ethos and their mm-hmm. business model and all of that. I think you're a really good example of knowing who your audience is mm-hmm. and really catering to them and understanding how do you add value to them on that day and what's the experience and the feeling that you're providing on that day too. Can you speak to that a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, that is everything from the minute they walk into your event, the first person they see, what they receive in their hands, is it a beautiful notebook with a pen, you know, designed by, you know, a fashion designer? Is it what music is playing when they walk in? Is it hot? Is it cold? What, you know, what food do you have? You know, all of those details really speak to, you know, the full day experience to the end when they're leaving with a gift bag that is like breaking their arm. And then in between, we have all of our panels. So we're very specific in who we have speaking and what they're speaking about. And we provide them all of their talking points so we can really curate the conversation. We do surveys after every conference to get feedback on what people liked and what they didn't like so we can cater to them and make each one better and better after, you know, all of these years. We've done probably 12 or 15 conferences now. So I hope that each one gets better and better.
Yeah. And I would imagine if your guests stay happy, if they keep showing up, then getting sponsors for your events is a lot easier because
yeah.
if the guests are there, they want to be there, right?
Yeah, definitely. Sponsors, it's a tricky, that's probably our biggest
obstacle.
Yeah. Because, you know, brands, it's budgets are tight. The industry is really changing. Everything's going digital. But I really think that in-person events and having that handshake and having that touch point and an in-person connection will never go away.
And lastly, for our entrepreneurs watching and listening, every single person in this space needs a personal brand. So whether you actually want to be an influencer or just want to be a leader in mm-hmm. your field, understanding your personal brand online and really expanding your social media presence is so crucial. So mm-hmm. since you work with so many influencers, what is your number one piece of advice to them?
I always tell people, because it's so hard deciding on who you are as a brand, it's like such a big decision, right? Mm-hmm. I always say, think of three words that describe you and put them up on your wall and look at them every day. And always think, if you're doing an Instagram post, if you're doing an interview, if you're on Facebook, what are those three words that you always go back to that really resonate who you are as a brand or who your business is? Like, if that Instagram post does not embody those any of those three words, don't post it.
I love that. Such great advice. Well, thank you so much. Everything you've created is just so amazing. I'm so impressed. And it's been so fun to learn more about your journey. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Oh my gut. We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
United States Navy veteran Jack Holder talks about the first strike on Pearl Harbor.
After the first wave hit, we had construction crews. The Oklahoma, battleship Oklahoma, had turned turtle up. The keel of the ship was up. We had construction crews out there on the bottom of the ship, cutting holes in the bottom of the ship, rescuing seamen trapped inside.
The American Veterans Center protects the legacy and honors the sacrifice of American veterans. To hear more, like us on Facebook.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Tina Hay, the CEO and founder of Napkin Finance. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Great to meet you. Thank you.
So what's your company do, Napkin Finance?
So Napkin Finance is everything about money in 30 seconds or less.
Well, break it down for us. 30 seconds or less. What is it?
So we make complex topics simple, and we target a millennial audience. Basically, we're a platform for understanding complex financial topics that you may have never learned in school or from your family or parents.
Okay, so give me a practical one. I'm a millennial. What are some of these things? Break it down for me. I go on your website. Is
sure.
that what it is?
So napkins are the foundation of our site. Basically, the way
napkins.
We have virtual napkins where we break down topics visually. And so the way things started is, actually, I'm a visual learner. I was sitting in business school with bankers and consultants, and I had a liberal arts background, and I worked in film and technology. And so I've always thought visually about different complex topics, and most people are visual thinkers. It's a classic concept. Einstein, Da Vinci, Mozart, all of them were visual thinkers. And that basically was the inspiration behind Napkin Finance. And so we sketch out and illustrate different topics, everything from compound interest to ETFs, taxes, insurance, whatever it is that's relevant to people and interesting.
How did you come up with this as a business model for your, you know, company? I feel like a lot of times people either come up with the idea in the shower, they have a problem in their own life that they, you know, out of a need and desire to solve, create a company. What was it for you?
So it actually happened by accident. It started as these sketches for financial literacy, part of a platform that we developed. And we saw that the Napkin Finance segment actually took off, and people loved it, and we'd get phone calls all the time.
Just buying napkins.
It's virtual napkins, yes.
Oh, they're so virtual napkins.
Virtual napkins.
They're not even real napkins.
We have real napkins now that we print out, but basically we had such demand for these napkins because people want to see things simplified. And I think money and finance is really intimidating for most people. So we've connected in that respect by having these napkins explain different topics. So now we have napkins, we have videos, we have other content. We also have a WTF glossary that's kind of an urban dictionary for finance, and a podcast coming out. So we've built our platform to basically encompass everything that's related to money and personal finance.
So what's a digital napkin? I have no idea what that is.
So it's basically a topic drawn out through illustrations
okay.
of a different financial topic, depending on what you're interested in.
Do I like swipe through these napkins or something?
You can
or?
Swipe through the napkins. Mm. You can actually have physical ones as well now. We started printing them out for our users. But these napkins are just just the start to kind of grow and be more interested in different topics and then go into the videos and the glossary and use this as a resource and just kind of a way to learn about anything that's important to you at different stages in your life.
What did you do before this that led you into this? Were you in finance before this?
So I was in finance briefly, but I've always been in technology and I love the startup world. I've had two other startups before this. Mm. So I find that I'm really excited about starting things and building ideas. And so this has been a lot of fun for me, not only because the company's doing well, but because it's really helping people, and it's really been fantastic to see the influence our content has on people. We get emails and calls all the time with people saying that it's changing their lives. Parents are using it for their kids. So it's really inspiring for us and really fantastic for our whole team to see this happening.
So what were the other two companies? You had two companies
right.
before this one. What were they?
So the first one was called City Tripping. It was a lifestyle channel for everything in different cities. And we also published city guides. We were in LA, New York, and we're growing, and we also had city guides. We were called the Younger Hipper City Search by Rolling Stone magazine. And so we grew, and we actually grew into a publishing company as well. Last company I had was Platinum Test Group, which was an outsourced HR business where we do background searches and drug testing for small, medium-sized businesses. Well, so very different than what I'm doing now.
Yeah, you've been all over the place.
Yeah.
What's been something on your journey that was a season of adversity? I feel like either you have been in one, you are in one, or you will be in one at some point in your life. Can you take me back to a story in your life or your business where you just hit one of those seasons of adversity where you felt like giving up?
I mean, there are so many, but I think...
I always love hearing that, at least for the people that haven't started yet.
Right. I call it a roller coaster because literally every day you have something that can come up, and it often does, that can really like make you question everything, the entire company and your future. But along the way, you also have kind of the ups and downs. So I think the most challenging thing is not what you do like with one instance, it's just always continuing to kind of... you know, push forward and look to like the next step, because nothing really will really break down the company in the big picture. It's just these things that seem like they're the biggest issues at the time.
CEO and founder of Napkin Finance, Tina Hayes, joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. So you, just as me and all the other people out there who are entrepreneurs, at one point made the tough decision to cut the cord from life, from job, from school, and go all in on this crazy entrepreneurship roller coaster and journey. But there's a lot of people that don't know when the right time is. Maybe they're, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. Maybe they have mouths to feed with their family or their children. Maybe they just don't have any money in their savings, but they have this dire need to go out in the world and follow their passion and their dreams. When is the right time to cut the cord?
So it's so interesting. One of our most popular napkins is how to start a startup. So I think these days everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, which is really, I think, a mistake. Yeah. I don't think everyone needs to be.
Everyone's meant for it, yeah.
Not everyone's meant for it. You can make a lot of money not being an entrepreneur. It's not, you know, as glamorous as it seems.
Yeah.
But I think there is no right answer. It's whatever works for someone. Some people's risk tolerance is much higher. For me, I think... it's a little bit different. I think I have an idea that I really believe in, and so I can give up a lot. And, you know, my opportunity cost is lower than if I didn't love my idea and believe that it really had potential. So I think it's a combination of, like, you know, your inherent kind of nature. Are you meant to be an entrepreneur? Are you meant to hire and fire and deal with the roller coaster ride every day? Or are you meant to be more... in a more secure position with a steady paycheck? So it's really not everyone is meant to be one or the other.
Question for you. If you had to start completely over, would you do the same business, or what business would you get into that excites you?
I would start with exactly the same business.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have to say that because we're on camera?
No, I would. It's funny. I was listening to this guy speak. I think he was the founder of ZipRecruiter. But he was speaking to a bunch of people, and he said, you know when you have a good idea, when you talk to people about it and, like, they raise one of their eyebrows, like, you know, they get very interested. And so I think having a business where we excite people and we're excited about it at the same time is really kind of magical and hard to find. So there is nothing else I would want to be doing right now at all.
For the people out there who maybe have zero clarity on what their goals look like, what their business looks like, and like you said, right, you don't have to be an entrepreneur to become successful. I think there's a lot of people out there that think that their path to their greatest life is through entrepreneurship. How does somebody know if entrepreneurship is right for them or not? It's a tough question to answer.
Well, it's interesting. I think everyone can be an entrepreneur in what they do. I mean, you can be a doctor and be an entrepreneur and be entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. You can have a restaurant and be entrepreneurial. So it doesn't necessarily mean you go like sell everything and start like working out of your garage. I think being an entrepreneur is something that kind of starts growing in the most, you know, random places with it, whether it's with your business or your family or personal life or whatever it is. So I think actually entrepreneurship is so broad. You can apply it to anything you do. So I find it just depends on kind of what excites you.
Yeah. What do you feel like are some best practices you guys have in your company? Is it what you do with your hiring, your firing, your company culture, your sales, your marketing, your partnerships?
Sure. So I think number one for us is we really focus on design. So for us, design and user experience and interface is everything. So my belief has always been design now is important for everyone. Whether it's your toothbrush or your tea kettle or your computer, design is now such a part of our lives that everything you interact with has to have beautiful design. And we really take that, you know, seriously. And so I think some of the things that we do is we focus on design, great design and user experience. We're very good about making sure our product is the best it can be and our content. So high quality, which is really difficult to do when you're doing it with finance. Because there's a saying, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't know it yourself. So
yeah, it's hard to make it simple.
It's much harder to make it simple and to fit on a napkin. So
on a napkin, yeah.
So I think our dedication to design, high quality, and also, you know, we only work with the most amazing people. And that doesn't mean they're necessarily like the highest IQ. It just means they're really passionate about what they do. And they get things done.
How do you decide what content to make? Nowadays, we've got people with millions of followers, all they do is bust open a selfie video and they've got, you know, a million people that see it. But ultimately at the end of the day, for the average entrepreneur, the average small business owner who is starting to figure out they need to start doing videos, they need to start getting featured in publications, they need to start creating content for their audience, even if they don't see themselves as a content provider, how does somebody know what the type of content is that they should create and what type of platform they should put the content on?
So that, and again, that depends on what you're doing. I mean, that can vary because even social media is like, there's so many different platforms now. There's Tumblr, there's Snapchat. I mean, it all depends who your audience is and who you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
The thing about content is it's really, really hard to have good content. Attention spans are now like 8 seconds, 9 seconds.
Yeah.
So to get someone's attention and get them engaged is almost impossible these days.
Difficult.
So I think the key to content is really good content and interesting content, which is really an art and hard to do.
Yeah.
So yes, you have a million people producing content, 99.9% is junk.
I like the fact that you, in my own words, say something that I say all the time is, it's contextual. Everything in life is relevant and everything in life is based on the context.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that you said that. I know sometimes some people just answer the questions, but at the end of the day, it all boils down to context. Thanks for coming on the show, Tina. I appreciate
you. Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. How can you stay more productive while you fly? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Traveling can be a painful experience for anybody. However, most entrepreneurs see this as an opportunity to stay productive and route to the destination. The following are a few things you can get done while in the air. Read up on your industry. Pick a book you feel will help you grow either in business or your personal life. 2, declutter your devices, clean out emails, delete junk, and reply to all emails needing your attention. 3, write your goals for when you land, for the next 6 months, for your business. Clearly, defining your goals is an important part of success. When looking at flying from a different perspective, entrepreneurs can make it enjoyable and productive. For the Business Rockstars podcast, go to play.it. I am Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest-growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day, watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, WOW, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Chuck Woolery here for Blue Emu. How many pain relief ads do you hear daily? 5, 10, 15? And of course, all of them claim their new ingredient or their new formula will help. Blue Emu has maintained the same quality year after year and continues to be the number one branded Emu oil product. So don't trust hype. Trust Blue Emu to support healthy muscles and joints. Choose Blue Emu pain relief products. They work fast and you won't stink.
Available at retailers nationwide.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Looking for a smartphone upgrade? Introducing the LG G8 ThinQ. So what is ThinQ? Spelled T-H-I-N-Q. We asked Ash Mollet from LG.
We've really delivered what I'll call a refined, minimalist design. We have enhanced front and rear facing cameras. We always have the incredible audio experience that LG has been known for.
And this smartphone comes with LG's artificial intelligence platform called, you guessed it, ThinQ.
It's LG's overarching platform that connects our home appliance, home entertainment, and mobile businesses with an AI platform that, you know, is going to make everyday usage of all of those types of appliances, TVs, and phones a really seamless process.
Go to your local carrier for rates and find out more on LG's G8 ThinQ.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Why is telling your story so important as a small business owner? We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. And joining us to help answer that question is Mari Rogo, the CEO and founder of Rip Media Group. Pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
So you're an expert at helping entrepreneurs and small business owners first identify what their story is and then help them craft it in a way that not only helps them make more money, but have a bigger impact in the world. What are the key steps to making that happen?
That's such a great question. So right off the bat, what I always say is your company is going to live or die based on the story that you're telling. So right off the bat, the first step is stop thinking about yourself and your product.
And that's difficult for some people, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, because they're founders, right? They created this widget or this app or this little piece of technology, so they're so proud of it, and they want to tell the world about the wizardry that went in.
A parent with a baby just wants to talk about their new kid.
Exactly. That is what it's like, because as an entrepreneur, you're probably not sleeping through the night like a parent is either. Yeah. You know, you just all you do is care about this the new thing. So you got to remove the story from yourself, from what was crafted behind you. Until you're a big monolith brand, you can start to talk about your process. At first, you talk about the customer's needs. You have to start with the customer. And the easy question to ask for what we do with our customers and what they need to ask is, what's the problem we're trying to solve? Start with that. What problem are you solving in the person's life? Does it make them better, faster, stronger, sexier? If it's a consumer brand, does it have them spend more time with their children because they're not, reading analytics all day long at work if it's a B2B? Yeah. So we have to start off there. So what's the problem you're trying to solve? Second question is, where do you get that aha moment? Right? So where do your customers get the, oh, I get what you do now? Because most founders are talking about their widgets so much that it takes people a while to get there.
You're doing an amazing job of reframing, rewording what I call marketing. Because you're talking about tapping into the story, and great marketing is tapping into the story and the mindset of the ideal customer or client. Great marketing helps people feel like you understand me instead of trying to get me to understand your product or widget or gadget. So I love that, because we weren't even talking about marketing. We're talking about the story, but the story is what crafts a really great marketing. And so I love that we're going through these two steps. What's the next one?
Excellent. So honestly, my belief is the story starts at the top, then the other pieces and the media that you're going to create is the last step. You know, typically we convert this into a story that's going to be video or multiple videos. So a video marketing company, but that's the output, right? It could be on social media. It could be on your website. It could be at a trade show, but that's the output. So the second step, once you find out what's core to your customers, their beliefs,
we had the aha moment. So,
right.
So identifying the story, then the aha moment. Third step?
Third step is, who are we talking to? Who are your customers? And I'll give you some examples here, because I've even seen this show and people come on and they say, our customers are the world.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's the worst thing anyone could ever say.
That's exactly right.
You don't go broad, you go deep.
You go deep. You go with a niche and you own that niche as best as you can. So, and a lot of, you know, let's look at the big examples that weren't, you know, big when they started off. Mm. Apple wasn't for everybody across the earth. It was for the creatives. Mm. Facebook was for 18 to 20-year-old guys at Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
Now they're Facebook. They started off, they owned a niche, they dug in deep, they got to be great at their particular market and then spread out.
Yeah.
So that's the second piece. Who is your audience?
Okay.
Really, really know that. And I say demographic, psychographic. Who are they? What's their age? All those basics we know about
demos. As much as possible, ideally.
As much.
Especially since nowadays with Facebook and other platforms, you can get as specific as you want as, you know, the height, the hair color, the eye color, are they right, left-handed, how much money do they make, where do they live, what do they like, what they recently visit online, what they recently buy. You can literally target everything. And that becomes very important, which I'm sure we're going to get into in one of these steps, which is how to get your story in front of them.
Exactly.
CEO and founder of RIP Media Group, Mari Rogo, is joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Right now, we're talking about why it's so important as a small business owner to be able to take your story and put it out into the world. You've gone over some great steps so far. To recap, we said the first one was identifying the story. The second one was, what's the aha moment in the story? And then the third one is how to put it in front of who is the right person. And the fourth one, as we're getting into now, continue.
So it's when to tell, what story to tell at the right time. Mm-hmm. So let me walk you through the buyer's journey as we know it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the very first step, you know, again, when you kind of kick back and you're starting a company, you think the world's going to love this. I'm going to get people to my site. I'll buy ads. You're thinking the wrong way. Again, we start with that niche.
Okay.
But here are the steps that people take to buy. They start off with the attraction phase. So they're going to be attracted to something about you, right? They're going to get to your landing page. They're going to be on your website. Now, this is where typically an explainer video is going to pop up.
Okay.
You don't have a good story there, and it doesn't match your branding, and it's cheap, or it's, you know, you're going to lose people.
Okay.
Mutual value exchange right here.
Yeah.
So at the capture phase, you give them something that they want, leave a little bit of mystery. Don't tell the whole story. When you're sitting in a movie theater and a trailer comes on and you're sitting there with your wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, and they tell the whole story, I'm not going
to
watch that.
I don't need to see it.
Nah, or maybe
like,
on Netflix.
If I know what's going to happen, I don't want to watch it. I'm like, well, I already know where that movie's going.
Exactly.
Mystery causes action.
Mystery causes interest that causes action.
Yep.
Exactly. So the whole piece we're talking about here is, you know, you got to entertain and engage.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got to be educating just a little bit. You know, these are baby steps for people to go through. So
micro commitments is what's really important. I feel like a lot of people try to go straight to, you know, metaphorically, let's get married versus let me see if I even like you. Then we'll see if we want to go on a date. And then, you know, we go through the wooing stage and then we go into the marriage or the engagement. But a lot of people in marketing try to go straight for the sale. Here's my product. Here's the benefits. You want to buy it, right?
Right.
It's like, what?
That's exactly right.
Terrible.
We get phone calls every day from different, you know, so yeah. I ask, what's your goal or what's the problem you're trying to solve? I need sales. Can this video get me sales?
Yeah. And you go, well, what's your time frame? What's your budget? Well, now.
exactly.
Do you have a business or is this a scam?
Exactly. You know, because there are steps that people need to go through. And they, you know, it's been a long time since some of us have been in school or tried this out. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this whole buyer's journey stack has changed in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
You could shortcut this, you know, before, say, 2010. But so here we
people
are.
People are skeptical now, which is why I think the story is so important, because it breaks the walls down and really capitalizes on a trend that people gravitate toward, which is authenticity and transparency and being real.
Right.
And that's why I love what we're talking about right now.
Oh, I do too. That you hit it on the head.
It's a pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Thank you.
Great
meeting you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Thank you. This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.